Hello, respected viewers. Hello, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel once more. Anyway, I think it's high time to interrogate Reform UK's central policy, which is net zero immigration, the full nightclub policy. It's stuffed. You can't let anybody else in until someone else leaves. There's one in, one out. And ask, what would transpire were that policy actually affected? Well, it would be cataclysmic for the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom needs immigration. I can't think of a country in the modern world which has ever had that policy of net zero immigration. I mean, even North Korea is at least theoretically open to immigration. And I remember one of their Spanish apologists for the tyranny there saying, oh, lots of homeless people from Spain and the United States want to go there. I don't know how many have actually moved in. They might have net emigration, people as laborers in Russia and China and so on. But even they don't say it's going to be net zero. I remember Tony Blair in his book, A Journey, and I'm no Blairite, said the central question about any country is, are people trying to get in or are people trying to get out? And if more people are trying to get in than out, that's a healthy sign. It's got more pull factors than push factors. Well, as I'm a right winger, I think it behoves me in particular to make the case for immigration to the United Kingdom, as well as the case for a limit to immigration. So there are two polar opposites, which are equally ludicrous. One is net zero, and the other one is zero limit in immigration. There has to be some Aristotelian golden mean. So 50% of nurses in the United Kingdom are originally foreign, moved to the United Kingdom. Somebody want to stay for a few years and go abroad. Some want to be permanent residents. Some become British citizens. Fine. But the UK desperately needs them because, obviously, nurses are retiring and not enough for training. What if they weren't replaced by immigration? It'd be catastrophic. The NHS waiting list would be even worse than it is now. And the same is true to a lesser degree over doctors, dentists, pharmacists, all sorts of people. Then in finance and IT, lots of companies say, well, we need whatever bankers, stockbrokers, IT specialists, various engineers from other parts of the world. Because they're all these multinational corporations and they like to shift people around from India, the United States, Canada, Nigeria, wherever the talent is. And obviously British people go abroad. So to make London a world financial center and also other cities in the UK, like Edinburgh or Manchester, you have to be able to have people coming in or out. So there'll be severe shortages of people who earn the high salaries and pay a high tax rate. And that's what's funding the National Health Service, schooling, everything else, pensions. Okay, in the United Kingdom, don't have enough children. The fertility rate is about 1.6. The pension system is a Ponzi scheme as it is. It's completely unsustainable if there weren't immigration. So who's going to pay for all these pensioners? And actually, who's going to care for them? Because in social care, there are an awful lot of immigrants who do it, who look after your grandparents in the nursing home and may look after you one day. Where on earth would the UK be if it weren't for that? People working on building sites, in factories, on farms, farm laborers. And so when the UK left the European Union, there was no longer free movement from the European Economic Area, not just the EU, but other countries which are part of the single market, like Switzerland, Norway, and so forth, the micro states like Monaco, San Marino, the Vatican City, Andorra, Liechtenstein, they all were part of that deal. But people who are working on farms, they often came from Eastern Europe, like Poland, Lithuania, Romania, Bulgaria, and so forth. And who would do all this work? And people from Eastern Europe, they do all sorts of jobs. They do, they work as doctors, they work in the financial sector, and some of them work in construction, as I say, and on farms. So the UK already has a shortage of farm workers. It would get a lot worse. And so who is going to milk the cows and who's going to pick the fruit and so on? So not enough British people are willing to do this. The problems in the labour market in the UK are multifactorial, partly because being on benefits is too easy. Claiming to be disabled and the GP, she or he is unwilling to say, no, you are willing to work. Get out there. Oh, I'm too depressed to work. Well, guess what? If you slob around at home all the time, it is rather dispiriting. Now, admittedly, there's some people who are genuinely disabled. I know Ian Duncan Smith tried to sort this out when he was in the cabinet in the early 2010s, but there were screw-ups inevitably with several million people who are registered permanently unable to work. When they took away the benefits from some of them, and they got it wrong in some cases. Some people who genuinely were unable to work were dying, they lost their benefits. Obviously, it's usually wrong the other way around. People who are capable of working but malingering still get the benefits. So The UK definitely needs that. And in 2020, it was terrible for the UK because they didn't have enough people to work on farms. Started recruiting some farm workers from Central Asia, countries like Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan. And they loved it in the UK because the sort of minimum wage in the UK, which is usually what they're earning, is a lot of money compared to what they're paid in Central Asia. And usually others have to work in Russia. There's a lot of racialism against them. Sometimes China, occasionally the Middle East. So make no mistake, the United Kingdom needs immigration. Now, even if the UK didn't have benefits as a career for some people, the UK would still need some immigration, maybe not quite so much. Also people who work in public transport. So, you know, people who immigrate to the United Kingdom work at all levels, some very high skilled, high powered white collar jobs, which are very handsomely remunerated, right down to things which are rather poorly remunerated, which people don't need much education or maybe even any English at all. I remember in London, it's very rare you're served by a British waiter or waitress or barman. Likewise, hotel staff, not just the receptionists, the chambermaids, the cleaners and so on. So the UK really needs immigration and the economy is just unsustainable without it. So the people would not be replaced if it weren't for immigration. So the United Kingdom should carry on with immigration. The thing is, you've also got to ask what the limit's got to be. Now, I don't know the magic number, as I've often said. David Cameron said he would get it down to under 100,000 per annum, which is a huge lie. He knew he could never do so. And telling such a flagrant lie, making an impossible promise, well, a promise that was impossible to keep, he really let people down and he destroyed trust in the Conservative Unionist Party. And that was a big boost to the UK Independence Party. And then it's largely its successor, Reform United Kingdom. So he should have been honest about that you couldn't control it within the European Union. So I don't really care where it's from. I care about the individuals. There are no bad nationalities, races, there are no bad races, there are no bad religions. So desirable individuals. But was it net 750,000 a year, which I thought was unsustainably high. Now, some of these people are actually students and they shouldn't be counted in immigration figures. They're not counted in immigration figures in most countries. They normally come and do their course for a few years and then they return home. OK, some will get jobs in the UK and that's fine. There's obviously bringing money into the United Kingdom and the British university sector could not survive without it. And the Conservative policies were too stringent on immigration, and that was going to make it too hard to get a student visa. And that was going to cause some universities to collapse. But excessive immigration will mean too much pressure on public services. And I know some immigrants work in public services and indeed are vital to public services. So you might say, well, my immigration policy, if you're a doctor, nurse, dentist, teacher, something like that, going to work in these shortage occupations, yes, you may come and bring your spouse, whatever sector he or she works in, and bring your minor children and things like that. And so long as you work in that sector, if you come work as a doctor, no, you can't become a singer or something like that. You need a separate visa for that. The house price would go up even more. And I know, like most problems, there are several factors to the housing crisis. I mean, the crisis is probably too strong a word, as in not building enough. The price is getting too high. Wages lagging behind, inflation and all the rest of it. So the more people, the more housing you're going to need. It's a no-brainer. And also the more cars on the road, the more passengers on the train, and. So obviously excessive immigration is exacerbating these problems. Not any malevolence on the part of immigrants, but people have needs. Being an immigrant is an entirely honourable thing to be. So the United Kingdom owes a debt to these immigrants, not trying to canonize them or say they did it for entirely selfless reasons. They wanted a better quality of life and more money, and that's completely respectable. And I've been an immigrant, I suppose, several times, or a guest worker or whatever. So there has to be some happy medium. And I don't know exactly what that number should be. But excessive immigration is going to put too much pressure on housing, public services, public transport and everything, really, as well as too much of a brain drain, often on less economically developed countries. Right. So thank you so much for watching my channel. And you're right. I mean, making planning permission too difficult has caused the housing problem to get worse. Not allowing people to redevelop the brownfield sites, you know, where I live, so many derelict offices, shops and so on. Just say you don't need planning permission. You can redevelop. You can turn this into flats or maybe knock down, rebuild and just go for it. And that would solve it without building on the Greenbelt. Right. Thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.